Kyle and I just came up from Austin, Texas. So I have to spend a few minutes to give you kind of like a translation of some of the Texas terms so that you won't be confused when we're speaking. So sometimes we might say this word, y'all. And just the translation of that is you guys, okay? Okay, and then listen, even sometimes you might hear this, like, you know, we're fixing to do this. Fixing means we're about to do this, okay? So if you have any trouble in the translation, you let us know, and we'll try our best to communicate to you. So anyways, we're happy to be here. We came in yesterday afternoon. We flew in on United. And we had a unique experience in the airport. You know, we flew into Dulles, and we got lost in the airport. And nobody told us that the baggage claim is in the main terminal, and we were in some terminal that's out further. And so, you know, we followed the signs for baggage claim, and it took us down to a train. And, like, this can't be right. And so we went back up the escalators, and we started following another baggage claim, and it brought us back down to the train again. And, you know, so we figured, let's get on the train and see what happens. And then finally the train brought us to the main terminal, and we got out, and it was like, wow, I've never had a time where I couldn't get out of an airport. So we're here, brothers. Hallelujah. We made it. And so, you know, we wanted to spend a couple of sessions tonight, being one session, a matter of, you know, touching this matter of the God-ordained way and the vital groups. And then tomorrow, we'd like to spend most of the session just on the matter of the homes. And you'll see how they kind of dovetail and really work with one another. So, maybe we could take a look at the title there, and I really want you to pay attention to the first word, endeavoring. Amen. Brothers, we have not arrived. We wouldn't even pretend to say that we've arrived, but we're endeavoring. Amen. And we're endeavoring together in the body.
Amen.
And we're endeavoring together with you tonight to enter into the God-ordained way.
That's right.
And we enter through the vital groups. So we'll get to that later, but I just want you to realize that when we're talking about the God-ordained way, this whole thing, the God-ordained way, should be the atmosphere of our church life. Amen. You know, it should be the atmosphere. In other words, I can still remember the brothers from Taiwan coming, and they shared, you know, one wing of the great eagle is BNPB. You know, you're begetting, you know, you're nourishing, you're perfecting, and you're building. And then the other wing of the great eagle is PSRP. So they, you know, they'd be there and they're going, BNPB, PSRP, and it's a little silly, you know. But brothers, this is the church life.
Amen.
Church life is a begetting life.
Amen.
A church life is a nourishing life.
Amen.
The church life is a perfecting life, right,
Amen.
Brother? And church life is a building life.
Amen.
That's the church life. That should be our atmosphere in all the things that we do. And brothers, when we see this to me is so critical when we see this, we must realize that the God-ordained way is like an umbrella that contains all the burdens in the church life. Like, you know, Kyle and I, we were telling the brothers before the meeting, of course, you know, we both labor on the campus. But brothers, anyone who has a burden, that's very valuable in the Lord's sight. And I know right now sitting here, I don't even know who you are, but I believe there's some that are very burdened for the Chinese speakers. Okay, let me ask you a question. Do some Chinese speakers need to be born again? Do they need to be begotten? You bet they do. You know, do they need to be nourished? You better believe they do. Do they need to be perfected? Yes. Do they need to be building up? Yes. So that God-ordained way just covers all the burdens. Then I know there's some of you sitting here right now, you're burdened for the children. That's great. Don't those children eventually, isn't it great when they first get saved and they first get baptized? Isn't that wonderful? And eventually even they're perfected and they're built up. Every burden is valuable in the church life. Every burden is valuable. Yes, we work on the campus. To us, that's valuable, but every burden is valuable in the church life. Okay, then I believe there's some, you know, that work with the Korean speakers. Is that not a valuable burden? Don't Koreans need to get saved? Don't Koreans need to be nourished? They all do. They need to be perfected and built up. Brothers, everything that we do, if we have a burden, it's under this whole umbrella of the God-ordained way. Okay, so we need to realize this atmosphere in the church life of the God-ordained way includes all the burdens. It's all-inclusive. Listen, no burden has a monopoly on the God-ordained way. No burden. Listen, the campus work has no monopoly on the God-ordained way. Just a small piece that fits in under the God-ordained way. So, brothers, what is God's eternal purpose? The church. Amen. It's not the campus work. God's eternal purpose is the church.
Amen.
We have to boldly proclaim that, brothers. Amen. What is God's eternal purpose? It's the church.
Amen.
Okay, so, you know, I know this brother's new, right? So, brother, your name's Julio, right? Okay, Julio, stand up. Okay, what's God's eternal purpose?
The church.
Okay, okay, wait a minute. You got to say it stronger. What is God's eternal purpose?
The church.
Yeah. Okay, brothers. Okay, now, Julio, wait. Okay, now, where is that in the Bible? Oh.
It is the Bible.
Hey, very clever, but I need the verses. Okay, Julio, you stand up. Do you have a Bible with you? Okay, give this brother a Bible. Okay, I want you to read Ephesians, okay? Yes. Chapter 3, 10 and 11.
Amen.
10 and 11, okay? Julio, and stand up and read it with your spirit, Julio. Okay, not mentally, but with your spirit. 3, 10 and 11. Yeah, and go slow.
In order that now,
yeah,
to rulers and the authorities,
yeah,
the heavenly, the multifarious wisdom of God,
right,
might be made known through the church.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, made known through what?
Through the church.
Yeah. Okay, but that sentence doesn't stop there. Amen. Because the next word is according to, right?
Yes.
Go.
According to the eternal purpose which he made in Christ Jesus.
What is according to the eternal purpose?
The church.
Yes. Okay, thank you, Julio. When I come back next time, you need to know those two verses. 3, 10, and 11, okay? Don't just say the whole Bible. 3, 10, and 11. You going to remember those? Okay. Brothers, that's God's eternal purpose. It's a church. What are we about? What are we, brothers? We're church people. We're for the church. That's what we're all about. Don't you want to see the church built up?
Yeah.
Don't you want to see the church living and glorious?
Amen.
Without spot or wrinkle or any such thing? Amen. Brothers, we are a people for the church.
Amen.
We are producing people that are for the church.
Amen.
Okay, that's what we're all about. And the God-ordained way is integral for that to happen. Because through the God-ordained way, people are saved. People are nourished. People are perfected and they're built up. What for? For the church. That's what we're doing. I don't care what area of life you're from, what your burden is, it's all for the church.
Amen.
Everything is for the church.
Amen.
Okay, then, you know, we in Roman numeral 2 there, if you look at Roman numeral 2, it says that we are moving from a hall-centered church life to a home-centered church life and becoming what? Okay, brothers, do you see there's a motion here in this section here? You know, when I first touched the church, you know, brothers, I'm one of those, quote, old timers, you know. I never thought I'd say that I'm an old timer. I don't, because I feel like I'm 21 inside, but unfortunately, this body doesn't agree with me, you know. Brothers, us old timers, listen, I came into the church 1971. I got saved, and in 72, I came into the church. And let me tell you a little bit about the church life back then. Everything was centered around the hall. Everything. Like, when you moved to a city, you said, where's the meeting hall? You wanted to know where the meeting hall was. So listen, this was our schedule. Okay, Sunday morning, we'd have a new beginners meeting. Then after the new beginners meeting, a brother would minister. Then Sunday night, we had the Lord's table meeting. Then Tuesday night, there was a training meeting. Then when I say there was a meeting, the whole church came. Okay? Then Wednesday night prayer meeting, the whole church comes. Friday night love feast, the whole church comes. Mm-hmm. Saturday morning service, the whole church is there. Okay, brothers? Eventually, everything surrounded around the meetings. Everything. And I know some of y'all that haven't been in the church, you know, not that long, you go, boy, that doesn't sound like what I'm in today. Thank the Lord. Yeah. Brothers, that means we are moving forward.
Right.
Okay? You could be in that, and when you're in a meeting-centered church life, do you know what you're concerned about? Did we have a good meeting?
Right.
And you know, you might even walk out, man, that meeting was glorious. That meeting was excellent. Boy, I really enjoyed that meeting. And meanwhile, Sally is sitting on the back row, and she just lost her job. And she's in a lot of pain, but we're in the realm of, man, that meeting was fabulous. Didn't you enjoy that meeting? But she needs some real care sitting on the back row there. And then there's a brother over here, and he just found out one of his kids flunked out of school. And that's eating him alive. But we're in the realm of, that was a great meeting. And his need is not being met by sitting there in a big meeting. Is there life? Yes. Is there truth? Yes. But he has a need. Mm-hmm. Brothers, this is why it was so critical for us to move in the direction from the meetings to the homes. Because eventually, the focus in the homes now was no longer, did you have a great meeting? But the focus is on people. And the sister that just lost her job can open up and we can stand with her and pray for her to get a new job. And the brother who's having a problem with his kid flunking out of school, we can be standing with him and praying for him.
Amen.
Okay, I'll tell you a little story. Brothers, this is touching to me. We have to move into the homes and touch this matter. So, you know, there was a certain point when I was in a home, and the brother whose home it was wanted to pray with me once a week. And so I'd drive up to where he works, and I'd wait for him to come out, and he'd get in my car, and we would pray for the home meeting. And, you know, being a young full-timer, you know, excited about what's going on the campus, I would say, you know, Tom, you got to hear about this new one. You got to hear about that new one. And I just was, I was full, brothers. And you know, he wouldn't adjust me or anything. He just, okay. For him to come up, he told me this. He said, Neil, he said, I got tired of hearing about your new ones. You want me to tell you why? Because his situation was he had two boys in high school that were messing up, and he needed help. And so, listen, when we started to pray for his two boys in high school, everything changed. The whole complex of the complexity of the meeting changed completely, because now it was no longer we're trying to bring the big meeting into a home. But, brother, what happened was his needs started getting met, and he got vitalized, brothers, because we got out of the realm of trying to have the best meeting in our home. You know, sometimes, and brothers, let me just say this. If I'm stepping on your toes now, I am not meaning to. But, you know, it got to the point where you walk in, and you know, the chairs are all set up. Everything's neat, and there's like a hymnal on every chair. And then there's the portion we're going to get into tonight on every chair. And it was almost like we're bringing the big meeting into the home. And so we would get to the point like, man, that was great in the home. But brothers, the home is to touch people.
Amen.
This is why we got into the home, so that we could touch people and take care of people.
Amen.
And brothers, this is a big thing. And the more and more we move into that type of feeling when we're in the homes, that there are people here and they have needs, the more and more the church life will become very living.
Amen.
And very vital.
Amen.
Because people's needs will be met. Brothers, here's the point. In the big meeting, practical needs cannot be met for the most part. But in the homes, practical care is there.
Amen.
And brothers, living in this age and living in this generation with the stuff that is swirling around and what our kids are touching on the campuses, we need lots of practical care.
Amen.
Lots of it. And that takes place in the homes, brothers.
Amen.
So, brothers, if you're not there yet, it's okay. We're moving in that direction. We're fellowshipping tonight. Lord, help us move in that direction. That when I come to the home meeting, it's about people. It's not about the right song to call. It's not about the right ministry to get into. Sisters, it's not about the right food to cook. It's not about that every cushion is right in the right place on the couch. Sisters, it's about those people coming into your house and getting their needs met.
Amen.
That's what it's about in your home.
Amen.
And I know I could say that 1,000 times. And you'll still have those cushions in the right place. I know that. But at least if we can move within to that point, it's people. It's people.
Amen.
The Lord cares for people.
Amen.
And these practical needs are met in the homes. Okay. And so this was great. And we thought, oh, listen, you can't go any higher than this. We got out of the hall. And when I say got out of the hall, we're not just in there all the time. I still love the prophesying meeting. But, brothers, we got out of the hall, and we started focusing on people, and you think we've reached it. Okay, here's the problem here. The problem is this. Okay, just suppose that, just use your imagination. Give me that other small bottle there. Okay, so here's the home meeting right here, okay? And then, suppose, just use your imagination, these are all grains of wheat. So this grain comes, it's in the home meeting. This grain comes, is in the home meeting. This grain comes, is in the home meeting. Even needs are met. Then the home meeting's over. Then the grains all go back to their place. Listen, they might not even see one another until the next Friday night. Individual grains. But brothers, we have to go on to being blent. In the home meeting, we need to be blent with the people that are in that home meeting. Okay, this to me is a huge, huge matter. We have to be blent. You know, I always like to give this little illustration, you know. It's kind of like, you know, the home meeting's Friday night, and it's like, you know, all of a sudden you just hear in the air, it's this helicopter. You know, it's like a big Huey helicopter. Okay, then all of a sudden the ropes come down from the helicopter, you know, and the young people come down with guns blazing, you know, and you know, they're there in the home meeting and they're just releasing and shooting up and, I mean, you know, just releasing the ministry. And then, you know, there's a big pile of dishes in the sink. And the sister's just totally wasted from all the pouring out. And then all of a sudden you hear the helicopter coming again. And the ropes come down and those fighters, they all go up the helicopter there. See you next Friday. Brothers, listen, that's not blended.
Amen.
That's not blended. It's good. They got into the home. We made progress. They got in the home. How about this? How about, and we've seen this happen, how about coming into the home at a different time of the week just to relax, just to rest? You know, we have this, you know, I meet with all these students on campus, and I always ask them a question. How are things going in the homes with you? So this one brother, he gives me this little thing about how, you know, Neil, I go there on Monday night for the home meeting, but you know what else I do? I go there Friday night. In the afternoon before, you know, dinner, just to play with their kids and just to be in the home. Okay, now tell me, what's more valuable? See, playing with the kids, come on. Okay, moms, do you like it when they come and play with your kids? Absolutely you do. Absolutely you do. Brothers, blending is starting to take place here. It's not just you come once a week and that's it, and then I'll see you next Friday. There's blending that's taking place, albeit it might be small, but now the grains, they're coming together and they're being blent. And we'll get into this more tomorrow, but I want you to see this, brothers. We have to go on to take a blended way in the homes and to touch this matter of the vital groups. Okay, so then Roman numeral 3, we have this matter of the three main characteristics of the vital groups. Okay, now, you know, we got the greatest help when Raul Bahandas came and he stayed a semester with us in Austin. And I can still remember him coming into the brother's cabin, and we had a whiteboard just like this, and him just sharing with us for hours about the vital groups and putting notes on the door, and it almost became like, don't touch that. Don't erase it. I mean, it had such an impression on us, and I think for months, no one dared touch that whiteboard until eventually, you know, the ink gets so stuck on there that even you erase it, nothing comes off, you know. And so he started sharing like this. Listen to this. That book called Fellowship Concerning the Urgent Need of the Vital Groups. Okay, he said the first six chapters of that book, and I think it's one of the first ones on the vital groups, Fellowship Concerning the Urgent Need. He said the first six chapters of that book was given to the co-workers and elders. Then chapter 7 is when Brother Lee started the training on the vital groups in Anaheim. And he shared this. He said, whenever Brother Lee would start something new, he would always give the principles of that thing. And so he said, chapter 7 is where Brother Lee gives the principles of the vital group. And there was three words that he gave. The first word is purpose. And purpose, you know, you can see it on your outline, is for the increase, the perfecting, the building up of the church. A vital group must have purpose. Then the second word he gave was it must have a nature, right? And with nature, that nature is spiritual. That's on Roman numeral 2. And then in Roman numeral 3, he talked about it, or C, I should say, it talked about the condition, and that condition is love. So three things that a vital group has to have: purpose, nature, and condition. And we'll get into all these things, but this is what a vital group has to have: purpose, nature, and condition. And he kind of illustrated this way, and I was hoping that, Kyle, you could draw this on the board. He illustrated it like a milk stool. You know, a milk stool has three legs. Now, I know, you know, we're in D.C., and I don't know if anybody came from the farm. Anybody grow up on the farm and milk cows? Yeah, I mean, I know. Okay, so you know what we're talking about. You know why it had to have three legs? Because in a barn, in that type of area, the ground is not so even. So if you have three legs, wherever you sit, there'll be support for you. Okay, so... Yeah. Oh, that's really good. Okay, great. Okay, and then put on P, you know, purpose, P, nature, and condition on those three. That's good. Okay. So here's the problem is that with each one of us, we usually default to one or the other. So we might be a purpose brother. So we go, hey, vital groups, it's all about increase. Brothers, come on. We got to go preach the gospel. We got to go meet people. You know, we're a purpose brother. Okay, that's good. It's good to have purpose brothers. But then you have a sister, and she defaults toward love. Right. So she's a love sister. Said, brother, where's the love?
Yeah.
Have you ever heard sisters say that? I've heard it. Where's the love? You guys are all purpose brothers, and it's like nobody loves me. You know, we need that sister. We need the love sister. And then we have another brother, and he's very spiritual all the time. You know, Glenn, come on up. He's the spiritual one, you know. So. Yeah, Glenn. Okay, so here's Glenn. And brother, come on. Let's, brother.
We need to pray.
Yeah, brother, you know, like I'm saying, Glenn, let's go out and, you know, and preach the gospel. Well, brother, let's slow down. We need to, amen. We need to fast and pray. And brother, we just sang the song. We need to be filled with the Spirit, right?
Yeah, on the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. So we have brothers like this. They're very much for the nature, okay? Okay, so here's the thing. Okay, so let's get these three brothers up here. Okay, three of y'all. Okay. I'll try to move this back because I want y'all to be right up front there. Okay, so y'all go right there, right there. Okay, so now this final group here, listen. They are love brothers. Okay, they're just for loving one another. And so, okay, so every week they come together. Listen, every week they come together and say, oh, yeah, you've got a hurt there. Okay, brother, let's put a little ointment on that right there. And then this brother here, you know, you don't know. I'm hurt more than you are. The brother, put some ointment right on there. And this brother here says, yeah, I've got a little on my leg. Could you put a little on my leg? Yeah. Okay. And it's really good. And they feel good after they, we love one another. Okay, brothers, they come back the next week, and they're loving. And this brother now, he's got a boo-boo on his head. So, and so we have to take care of that. And then this one here, you know, there you go, exactly. Okay, and something's wrong with Glenn, and then we take care of that. They're the love brothers. And they go out and they feel comforted. They feel like their need got met. And they go on like this and there's no increase. As good as it is, there's no increase. One of the reasons Brother Lee was for the vital groups, he knew there was a need for the increase in the recovery. Okay, so brothers, okay, that's good, good. So we don't want to default to just loving one another. We do need to. But we don't want to just default. That's all we're about. And then maybe there's a group, you know, and Glenn, come on up again, Glenn. Yeah. There's a spiritual group here. Okay. I mean, and then, you know, come on up, brother. Here's another spiritual brother here.
No.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. The outlines.
Hey, wait, brothers. No. I think what we need to do is, before we preach the gospel, we need to pray read John 15.
Right, that's right.
Okay, abide in the vine.
Amen.
You and me, I and you. I mean, we need to abide, don't
yes.
we, brothers?
Amen.
Brother, unless it's life,
yes.
it won't mean anything.
That's right.
Right? We need to, okay, so we pray read.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, brothers.
Yes.
Oh,
hallelujah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Apart from
you.
Apart from me, you are nothing.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, that's right. Apart from me, you're nothing. Yeah,
yes.
That's right.
Yes.
Oh, Lord, we're nothing.
Amen.
We can't do anything.
Amen.
Lord, you have to bear fruit.
Amen.
Lord, we can't do anything.
Hallelujah.
Okay, brothers, people are like this.
Oh, yeah.
If we go on like this week after week, no increase. Mm-hmm. See, we must. You look at this diagram. We must have all three legs for the vital group. We must have purpose.
That's right.
We must have nature. We must be filled with the Spirit. And we must have the condition of love for one another. And it must be balanced, brothers.
That's right.
Okay, that's why I'm bringing these. They're funny little illustrations, but I want you to see there must be balance. When we come together, there should be some burden for increase. There should be some burden to love one another, to care for one another, and there should be burden to touch the Lord in the Spirit.
Amen.
And have a life of being filled in the Spirit.
Amen.
Okay, thank you, brothers. Okay, so let's just consider for a second that first word, purpose. You see in A there it says, for the increase, the perfecting, and the building up of the church. Okay, how about you all read Acts 2, 46 and 47. Go ahead and read that.
And day by day, increasing capacity with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they partook of their food with great exultation and simplicity of heart.
Don't forget the Lord added.
Amen.
Day by day. Don't forget that part of the verse. The Lord added day by day those who are being saved. Okay, so, all right, brothers, our destiny as branches in the vine is to bear fruit. This is the destiny of every person in this room. There's no excuses. Every one of us was made to bear fruit. You're a branch in the vine. Okay, can I get an amen? Are you a branch in the vine?
Amen.
You really believe you're a branch in the vine?
Amen.
Then what are you destined to do?
Bear fruit.
Absolutely, brothers. That is our destiny. That is to bear fruit. Okay? Now, here's what happens. Sister that has a very mild, meek disposition says, I can't do that. That's for the bold brothers. I can't do that. I mean, I can barely talk to the person who takes my money at the register. Okay? Sister, I agree with you. You can't do that. I agree. Do you know what the Achilles heel of the God-ordained way is? We took it individually. This is the Achilles heel. As we took it individually, say, I can't do this. Brothers, you're not meant to do it by yourself. You're meant to do it in a vital group. And through the vital group, there will be the ability to preach the gospel. Maybe it's you and another sister. Maybe it's something else. But there will be the ability there in the vital group. By yourself, I agree with you. Okay? But in the vital group, there is a way to preach the gospel. So here's the results. Let me just mention a few things to you. Here's the results of not having a clear view of purpose, okay, which is increase. This is what happens. We come together, and if there's not a clear view of purpose, what do we become? We become the 12 apostles. Okay, now you see, like, okay, how many brothers in here were under the direct ministry of Witness Lee? Okay, raise your hand if you were in the direct, like you were sitting there in Anaheim under the direct ministry of Brother Lee. Okay, you know what, brothers? I got to sit on the front row in the Colossians training. Whoa, just locked in. Just let it flow right in. Okay, so you were there, Don, right? Okay, come on up, Don. Okay, Don was there. Okay, who else? You raised your hand, come on up. Did you raise your hand? Yeah. Is that Bruce? Yeah, okay, come on up, brothers. Okay. Okay, so, okay. Who else? Oh, John? Come on up, John. Okay, so here they are. They represent the 12 apostles. Okay. Okay, now listen. Okay, John, what was your first training under Brother Lee?
I think it was maybe Mark, the Gospel of Mark.
Oh, boy, I was there. It was in Irving, Texas. Was that good? You made it through the ice storm to get there.
Yeah, right? That's right.
Yeah, okay. Okay, now, how much of the New Testament ministry is in these four fellows right here? Brothers, we have no idea how much has been deposited in these four people right here. Okay, so they come together. There's no new ones. It's just the 12 apostles. Okay, John starts speaking something, you know, from John, you know, maybe he speaks from John chapter 3 about the serpent and the bride. And before he asks the question, he already knows the answer. And so he gives it. And then you know, Don starts sharing, you know, I just want to share with you, you know, about, you know, Christ as the sin offering. And before he even finishes, yeah, I want to tell you the sin offering always goes with the burnt offering. And he starts sharing. Okay, brothers, this is what happens when we get together in this way and there's no new ones. It gets stale real fast.
Yeah, yeah.
It gets stale real fast. Listen, you add one person, one new one, into this situation. Hey, Julio, come on up. Come on up. Okay. Yeah. Can you get through there, Julio? Okay, come on over here. How long have you been knowing the brothers for?
Maybe like 6 months.
Ooh,
4 months.
Ooh, 6 months. Okay, let's get him in here, man. Okay, Julio. Okay, let me tell you. And he starts, you know, talking and start asking questions. Okay? Just ask them a question. You say like this, hey, brothers, how do I find my spirit?
How do I exercise my spirit?
Yeah, there you go. Good. How do I exercise my spirit? Let me tell you, the 12 apostles all of a sudden get giddy.
Yeah.
And they are excited, and they start sharing about, oh, hey, you know, John starts sharing, brother, you got to realize the first time I found my spirit, I was in the basement of this house, and a brother was with me, and he taught me how to pray read, and he's just released. And then this brother starts sharing, oh, brother, you know what, I was playing soccer with his brother, and he shared with me how to call on the Lord, and he's just giddy how to touch the Spirit. And this brother here is just wave upon wave of Christ is coming into him. Now, tell me, who gets more help out of this meeting? Okay, but you know what? The apostles, they get more help out of all this meeting. Yeah, they know everything. They know how to say it. They know how to come in. They know what to say, when to say it, when not to say it. And then all of a sudden, this new six-month baby comes in. And he doesn't know how to say it. He doesn't know when to say it, where to say it. And he says, brothers, how do I exercise my spirit? Vitality. Right away, vitality. Okay, then you get one more new one. Okay, I need another young brother. Any other young brothers here? Okay, come on. Yeah, it's okay, Jonah. You can come up. I mean, Jonah, to me, you're a young brother. Okay, so here's Jonah here. Another young brother here. Okay, more vitality comes into that situation. And he asks a question. And brothers, everything, you just feel like I'm touching meaning for my church life. I'm touching what I'm supposed to be doing. Okay, but you take these two brothers away. You go sit down, brothers. Take them away, the vitality. Just take it away. And here they are. Brothers, here they are again. The 12 apostles. Listen, they might even have some good fellowship. Okay, I'm not discounting that. Okay, the riches of Christ are the riches of Christ. But you bring one new one into that situation, vitality just goes up. You bring two new ones into that situation. And brothers, let me tell you, it does not have to be from the campus. Okay, it could be a new one from your work. It can be a new one from, you know, the mothers with babies, and they meet some mother and she comes in. It could be one of the Chinese speakers that they met at work. I don't care who it is. You bring a new one into that situation, vitality. Again and again, vitality goes up. And you just feel, this is the meaning. Amen. This is why I'm on the earth. You know, brothers, listen. Would you all agree with me that the meaning of human life is Christ?
Amen. Yes.
Absolutely. The meaning of human life is Christ. Now, would you agree with me on this statement? The meaning of my Christian life is the church life.
That's right.
Would you all agree with that?
Amen.
Brothers, when we touch the church, it's like, wow, now I know what it's all about being a Christian.
Amen.
Okay? Now, let me give you the third statement. Would you say that the meaning of your church life is fruit-bearing? Okay, see, not much response there.
Amen.
Not much response. That's okay. But I'll tell you what, in your experience, you know, it's so funny. You know, when you're with the moms, you know, tell me what the meaning of the moms is. What are they talking about? Okay. With the young moms, what are they talking about? Babies. The older moms, what are they talking about? Children. Where they're going to school. Mine's going to Georgia Tech. This one's going to Georgetown. This one's here. You know, and they're living. The meaning is the children. The meaning is the children. Okay, even grandmoms, what are they talking about? The grandchildren, right? Okay. Isn't that right?
That's right?
That's the meaning. The meaning is the children. Okay, how much more, brothers, is the meaning the children in the church life? How much more when the children are there, then there's meaning in our church life? Okay, thank you, brothers. Oh, brothers, the matter of purpose is so, so critical. Okay, then, okay. I want to read something to you since we just talked about this matter of meaning, okay? And I want you to hear this out because this to me is so real. Okay, I'm giving you the chapter. It's not on your outline. I wish I put it in. This is from the Training and Practice of the Vital Groups, Chapter 3, Section 2, okay? The Meaning and Practice of the Vital Groups. Barrenness is an even more subtle enemy. Listen to this. Some married couples are not able to have children, and this becomes a big problem to them. According to human desire, the meaning of a couple's life is to have children. Likewise, if we do not bear fruit, beget some spiritual children, listen to this next phrase. There is not much meaning to our church life. There's not much meaning to our church life. You know what happens, brothers? We become listless. There's just something restless in us. We begin to lose interest. I mean, we might go to the meetings, but the interest just is not there so much. You're worried about, you know, your 401k or whatever the newest one is, you know, your Bitcoin. you're worried about that. You know, brothers, listen. No children, you begin to worry about other things. Now don't throw stones at me at this next one. Okay. But it even comes to the point that the next life study message that you read does not satisfy as much.
Yeah, right.
It'll always satisfy, but it doesn't satisfy as much.
Yeah.
When you have children, all those things you're reading of the life study is living because you're there to produce milk for the baby.
Right.
Everything you do, everything you touch becomes living because it's not about you, it's about the children. This is why, brothers, we have to. We have to become this type of people that have purpose in our vital groups. We must have purpose. You know, you say, well, Neil, I'm an older saint. I don't have purpose. Okay, no problem. That's why we're talking tonight, to have a beginning. You know what, brothers? Let me tell you something, and I want you to hear this. We're not here for 100%. We're not here for home runs. We're not here for brothers that are going to stand up and say, you know, they shot the moon and they have 10 new ones in their home. They might. You know what we're here for is sisters that never have taken care of new ones. And this year, they've improved 5%.
Right. Yeah.
That's what we're here for, brothers. We're here for a small, gradual improvement. Yeah. We have the feeling, Lord, I don't have any fruit. I've never taken care of a new one. And you just begin to pray. And you begin to pray with your fellow partners in the vital group. Lord, we can't go on. We don't have any fruit. We don't have any new ones here. You just pray. Okay, listen. You pray like that for a year. And there is improvement. Even if if a new one doesn't come to your home meeting. Okay, I'm serious. You do that for a year. Now, I believe that the Lord will arrange things, work things out, and it will come in a strange way. Things that you didn't even think of. Some cousin of yours has a friend coming to school or something like that, and then all of a sudden they pop up in your home. Okay, you just begin to pray. Brothers, can we pray? Okay, you might not be able to go out the front door and give a tract to someone. I sympathize with you. You know, when I was in Taiwan, one sister was so afraid. She, you know, she had the mystery of human life. And, you know, we would knock on the doors, and she's there shaking. And she goes, we want to share with you tonight the misery of human life. I sympathize with you, sisters. Okay. But we can pray, brothers.
Amen.
We can pray with our fellow members that are within our vital group, and we can even tell them, I'm afraid.
Amen.
I'm a chicken. I can't do that.
Right.
Okay, you know what? Once the Lord hears those words, I can't, he is so happy to hear that, because now I can do something in you.
Amen.
Okay? I remember I was on a plane recently, and actually a brother and I were going to Russia this year, and we missed our flight. It wasn't our fault. It was the airline's flight. They got canceled. It moved us up a day. And then we're sitting with this young man that was just about to end the Army Rangers, a high elite group. And he's sitting right next to us, and we're all stuck in that row. And we just started having a kind of a talk with him, just talking to him about what we do, and then talking to him about Army Ranger and this and that. And he was really warming up. And you know how the plane comes and you hear the thing, ding, and then everybody starts rushing to get their baggage and get off the plane? And the Lord was speaking inside of me, pray with him. And I said, I can't do it, Lord. I'm a chicken. I didn't say it like that, but you know what I mean. I said, I can't do it. Okay, that's the first mistake I made. was I said, Lord, I can't do it. Once you open your mouth, it's funny. I've seen saints come into a meeting. They say, I'm not, and they say it boldly to the Lord, I'm not speaking in this meeting. You know, they're mad at something. They get upset about something. I'm not speaking in this meeting. And then 20 minutes later, Sister so-and-so is up there and speaking. Okay, so let me give you a word of advice. If you don't want to speak in the meeting, don't tell the Lord you don't want to speak.
Right.
Something might happen. So I'm there, and I just couldn't do it. And then finally, you know, there was enough grace. And I said, hey, listen, I know you're going into that service, and how about we pray for it? He said, yes. And so, I mean, like, and then, you know, because I was in my mind, like, the people in front are going to hear, the people in back are going to hear, you know, and we prayed, and it was a great prayer. Amen. Lord Jesus, come into me right now. Amen. I need you for this. And brothers, the Lord came into that young man.
Amen.
On the airplane.
Amen.
And you just saw how it was so sovereignly set up. We missed our flight. He missed his flight. We're all stuck on the same row. Sovereign.
Amen.
It was God's sovereignty that we
Amen.
Were put together. Okay. The Lord will do that. You begin to pray, the Lord will do that. You know what? You might not even open your mouth. And someone you're working with, someone that you've known for a period of time, they open to you. And they start saying, I'm having a hard time. It's a setup.
Amen.
It's just a setup. So will you promise me, will you pray this year?
Amen.
Pray, Lord, give me a baby.
Amen.
Give me a baby.
Yes.
It's like we have to be like Hannah. She was desperate, praying for a baby. Give me fruit this year. But pray corporately. Don't pray. I mean, you can pray by yourself, but pray corporately. Lord, give us fruit. Okay.
Amen.
Okay, then another thing that happens, and I mentioned this when the brothers were up here, once a new one comes to your home meeting, vitality is there. It just goes up. And what happens, you begin to get freed from yourself. You get freed from your problems. I mean, okay. Brothers, you have a wooden or a metal or some type of door in your house. Okay. And it's just a physical door. So these people, one new one comes in through the door. He just went in through the door. Doesn't seem like much. In the invisible, divine, and mystical realm, that person got into your heart.
Right.
And the more time you spend with that person got into your heart. And you know what happens when someone gets in your heart? You're right, sister. You pray for them. Exactly. You pray for them, and you know who gets saved first? You do.
Yes.
Okay, you get saved first. Okay, listen, brothers, listen. Do you think anyone sitting in this room tonight has made spiritual advancement without somebody praying for you? Brothers, let me tell you, I don't care who you are. I don't care what your past has been. The reason you make advancement is somebody has prayed for you.
Amen.
That's exactly why. Amen. And so when these young ones come into our homes, they get imprinted on our heart, and we begin to pray for them. And brothers, the first one to get saved is we get saved.
Amen.
And then they get saved, and we'll talk about this more tomorrow. But brothers, this is why it's so critical, you know, to open our heart and open our door to let some of these people come in. You know, again, this is something that's not on your sheet. I'm going to read it to you, but it's from this book, How to Be Useful to the Lord. Okay, so it's How to Be Useful to the Lord, chapter 2, section 1. And it's about pursuing. And he says this, a basic price that we need to learn to pay in our daily pursuit is, you fill in the blank. Now, if you already read the book, don't answer. A basic price we need to learn to pay in our daily pursuit is. Okay, now if you didn't read it, let's hear some answers. What's a basic price we need to pay? If you already read the book, you're disqualified. Okay, so what's a basic price that we need to pay? This is in that book, How to Be Useful to the Lord. What's a basic price we need to pay in our daily pursuit? that we need to learn to pay. Anybody want to venture a guess? Okay, what do you think, brother?
Intercession.
I like that, intercession. Good answer, but not what Brother Lee said. Okay? It is a very good answer, though. Anybody else?
Prayer.
Prayer, very good. But it's not what was said here. Okay.
Time.
What?
Time.
Time. Very good. That's our most valuable commodity is time. Uh-huh. That's not what he said here.
Open
your homes. Very good. That's close, but it's not what he said here.
Crucified.
Crucified. Yes. Brother, you got nature down. Right, brother? You're not crucified. There's no spirit, right? Okay. Now, let me finish reading it to you. A basic price we need to learn to pay in our daily pursuit is that the younger ones must receive help from the older ones. And the older ones must try their best to help the younger ones. In order to become manifested before the Lord as those, now listen to this, manifested before the Lord as those who are truly pursuing spiritual growth, we must take care of these two matters. Okay, brothers, that is strong. If we want to be those truly pursuing spiritual growth, we must take care of these two matters. On the one hand, we should do all we can to receive help from whoever can render us help. And on the other hand, we should do all we can to help those whoever needs our help, to help whoever needs our help. This is real pursuing, okay? However, usually our situation is that the younger ones seek out the younger ones, and the older ones seek out the older ones. Okay, listen, brothers, it is so easy to talk to an older one, if you are an older one. Okay, it's like, I call it shop talk. Yeah. Oh yeah, okay, now tell me what you're doing in your career, and we start going back and forth. You know, tell me about your children. Oh, they went there to that university. Yeah, mine went to this university, and what they're doing. And you just go back and forth. It's like, you don't have to try, right? It's just easy. Hey, moms, is it hard to talk about your children with each other? Tell me, is it hard? Come on, I got to hear it. Be honest, is it hard?
No.
Shop talk. You just like talking about your children. Okay, now, brother, here we are. You and I are talking, having our shop talk, and old Julio comes up. Okay, come on over, Julio. We need to talk to you. You might need to put him on the end of that row or something like that. Okay, so here's Julio. And shop talk's over, bro. Now what are we going to say to him?
Respond to what he asked us.
Okay, so like he has no children. He's not married. He doesn't have a mortgage. He doesn't own a car. Okay. He has only, you know, three sets of pants, you know, everything like that. Okay, and then, okay, and you and I have been talking all about this stuff, and then all of a sudden, here is this young fellow right here, and what are we going to talk about? Okay, that's pursuing. You know, eventually, you know, we need to, in a sense, how the Lord, you know, he lowered himself to become a man.
Right.
We have to lower ourselves in that situation and become right on his level. Hey, Julio, what's going on, bro? What's going on?
Nothing much.
Yeah, I mean, what have you been doing this week?
School.
Yeah, so what are you studying in school?
Finance.
So like, do you want to be like a you know, CEO of a big corporation, or what's your goal?
Just banker.
Banker, okay. Yeah, so what bank have you worked at?
None,
okay. Yeah, but do you want to?
Eventually.
Yeah, okay, yeah, and you into any sports at all, or?
Not really.
Yeah. What
bank do you think you're going to get a job at?
Yeah.
An internship line?
Okay, so he's entering in. He's trying to pursue. That's good. Yeah, go ahead. You keep going, brother.
Are you finding any time for anything other than your studies?
Group meetings.
Okay, you have to realize he's in his honeymoon stage right now. Okay, so like it's church, and more church. You know what I mean?
No problem. Not really. No, just going to school.
Yeah. So no, bro. Like, how's your driving?
Uh,
It's a lot better now.
Yeah, what happened?
I was in a car accident.
Yeah. Oh, man. So how those... So, bro, you know, like, how are your bones feeling?
They're better now.
They're better now? Can you run yet?
No.
Can't run. Okay, yeah. So what tell us about, you know, the rehabilitation.
It's been tough.
Okay, see, we got something right there. You see, we're there talking. Finally, I found a weak point in him. There's a weakness there. See, we got it. Okay, it took us about 5 minutes to get to that point. It's been tough. Okay, here's this guy, Joe Spiritual. He's on top of the world. He's enjoying the Lord, calling on the Lord, you know, bothering the full-timers. I want to move in with you guys. I want to be with you guys. Okay, okay, okay. Now, we touched weakness right there. Okay, right at that point, we got him exactly where we want him. And say, really? Mm-hmm. It's been tough. Well, tell us about that.
Bedridden for a couple months.
Yeah, so how did you get through that?
Through the help of the full-timers.
Okay, anyways, but the thing is, just that word, it's been tough. Yeah. It took us a little while to get there, but we got there. And then something of Christ can be ministered right here. I just wanted to point that out. It's true pursuing. It's not that easy with people not your age. There's a pursuing that has to take place. Okay, thank you, brother. Okay. But, brothers, isn't that good? That's the type of people we have to be. You know, younger ones need to get with the older ones. Hey, Julio, you need to get with these older brothers. Okay? Okay, this year you got to try to get with some of the older brothers. Okay? Don't just hang out with the young full-timers. Get with some of the older brothers, you know? Oh, Lord Jesus. Okay, let's go to B. Okay, let's go to B. Spiritual. Okay, this is pretty sweet, this matter of spiritual. You know, this is the intrinsic thing in the vital group. You know, there's always something intrinsic. This is intrinsic, and that is, it's something of life. It's not natural. Brothers, it's not natural. It must be something of life. There's a group of people, we call this group of people a vital group, listen, and they don't have just a natural relationship. There's something spiritual in their relationship. See, not natural. It's something spiritual. And, you know, all these verses here, you know, I'm not going to take up your time to read all these verses. You know, to be spiritual means to be filled within and without. And the first set of verses, number one, are to be filled within. The disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. And then the outpouring in number two, they were just, you know, on the day of Pentecost was being fulfilled, they were together in the same place, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit in that outward way there in the day of Pentecost, and began to speak in different tongues, even as the Spirit gave them to speak forth. So we have to be spiritual, but spiritual does not mean the way I walk, the way I hold my Bible. Brother, I'm spiritual. Sister, I'm spiritual. Okay. Okay. We're not talking about that outward. You know what we're talking about? Filled. Yename. Yename. Chung Manwa. Chung Manwa. I mean, we used to sing it in Taiwan. We'd sing it in Chinese. Chung Manwa. Chung Manwa. I don't know the rest, but anyway. We need to be filled. Yeah. Filled with the Spirit. Yeah. Brothers, that means to be spiritual. Filled with the Spirit. Yeah. And when we come together, then eventually our relationship is not something natural, but eventually it gets, something becomes spiritual in our relationship with one another. So let me just say this. If we don't have a clear view of nature, which is the matter of the Spirit, it's very easy to become too casual and too natural with one another. And this is what happens when we're too casual. And please don't misunderstand me. I'm for casual. But to an extent, to a degree. But if we're too casual, people don't get fed. They might come to your house and you opened up your washing machine and you opened up your computer and you opened up your refrigerator and you just took care of them, and this is all good. And you're very casual. But if they leave the house and all they had was a casual time at your house, we got a little too much on the casual side. If we're filled with the Spirit, something will be there to put something of Christ into them.
Amen.
Okay? Okay, so, you know, we have that verse there. You all see that verse, Colossians 2:2? You see it? Number one, it says, is that right on your thing there?
No.
Okay, it's not there. Well, I'll read it. That their hearts may be comforted, they be knit together in love, and unto all the riches of the full assurance of understanding. Mm-hmm. The heart is comforted with a result, and that is unto all the riches of the full assurance of understanding. The comforting is important. There's a casual time to comfort one another, but it must result in the full assurance of understanding. Mm-hmm. It must result in feeding. Okay.
Amen.
All right. Then let's go to see the condition is love. Okay. Why don't you all read John 13:34-35?
A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another.
Okay, so I believe this next section that Brother Benson shared in one of the ministry books, and I'm going to read it. You can follow along with me. He said, I've had the opportunity... Is that on your sheet? I believe it is, right. I've had the opportunity to serve in many countries and churches, or many different countries and churches, and it has been my experience and observation that the churches can take two different ways to gain the increase. Mm-hmm. One way is to get everyone excited to preach the gospel and to do a work of effort to gain the increase. However, in the end, this way does not produce much increase. The other way is to gain the increase in the way of love, is the way of love. To gain the increase is the way of love. When there's the element of love between the saints, this love overflows to the unbelievers. And when this happens, there is the increase. It's not our working that brings in people. Doing a great work may be effective to a certain degree. But the greatest work, the work that produces the most increase, is the work that is out of love. Love. Now, let y'all read that next sentence.
Love is the way of the vital roots.
Sisters.
Love is the way of the vital roots.
Brothers.
Love is the way of the vital roots.
Brothers, love is the way of the vital groups. Then he says, which Brother Lee showed us and to which we must enter, the very element and expression of the vital groups should be love. In the vital groups, we should love the members. And when the Lord brings us in contact with a new one, we should love him into the church. Love him into the church. Oh, love him into the church. The vital groups are absolutely of the Lord. And this way of living in the vital groups and carrying out the vital groups will produce great results. However, for there to be the increase, one element must be present: love. If in a vital group love prevails, and love is the center of everything, there will be the increase. If we love one another and all the new ones, and if we pray for the new ones and for one another, and if we have fellowship, the Lord will bless us with the increase. So love is so critical in the vital groups here. And, you know, it's very interesting, brothers. Once we are there with one another and we begin to open to one another, not in a way, you know, we're not looking for people's deep, dark secrets from their past. We're not talking about that. But I mean in an openness where, you know, I'm with Jesse this week in his house, and I'm there with him, and he starts telling me about a problem he's having on his job. Okay, and you know, and I say, oh, that's good. Let's pray read. In other words, I don't even hear him. I mean, he's trying. The guy's having a hard time to let me know what's going on. He's trying to, and I'm like, Jesse, turn to your spirit, brother. Brother, isn't that right? You need to turn to your spirit. Okay? Okay, That's not love. Okay? That's spiritual, but it's a wrong type of spirituality. So I said, well, Jesse, tell me about it. What's going on? It's my boss. This guy's giving me extra work. It's hard for me to get home at night. I have two little kids. We start talking about it a little more, and then just a little more. I say, okay, Jesse, let's pray about it. And then we begin to pray about his situation. You see, first of all, I listen to him. Brothers, you don't love. If you love, you listen. Let me say that again. If you love, you listen. Too much of the time, we don't listen to one another. Okay? If you love, you listen. And then if you listen, you act. Okay, so let me say that one more time. If you love, you listen. And if you listen, you act. And when I mean act, I don't mean so much in an outward way, but it's like this. You care for him. You're burdened for him. You pray with him. I pray for him when he's not there. There's a burden. And then, not only that, but I see him again next week, and I say, yeah, how are things going at the job? Oh, Brother Neil, it's really bad. I'm just having such a hard time. Okay, listening. Okay? Then, again, we pray. Okay, there's some action there. You see, now, you know, then, you know, his wife is there, and she gets with the sisters and opens up and says, you know, I have two kids, and one of them is just hard to control. I don't know what to do. Right? And so, you know, the sister, oh, come on, sister. Come on, let's PSRP now. That'll solve all the problems, you know. They didn't hear her. She's got a kid and is having a hard time with him. Okay, no. You love, you listen. And then if you listen, you act. Okay, let's pray for your son. Then maybe there's more fellowship. And maybe he can come over to our house or she can come over to our house and play with our kids. Just there's something there of care there. When we start to enter into that, saints, when you come on Friday night, let me tell you what happens. There is love there that you can cut with a knife.
Yeah, right.
It's so real. Yeah. And when a new one comes into that type of situation, they touch it and they know it's real. Yeah. It's not like, oh, we're just a bunch of people that we sit around the couch and we exercise our spirit. Because I'm not against that. I'm 100% for that. But there must be love in the atmosphere. Yeah. There must be love in the vital group. Yeah. There must be a real care for one another in the vital group. Brothers, the more we touch this, and again, I want to repeat, I'm not talking about the deep, dark secrets. I'm talking about common, hard things people are going through. That's what I'm talking about. And yet we listen. You know one of the biggest problems? You know why we have such a good time with the young ones on the campus? Because one of the first things Watchman Nee says in the book on how to be a worker, the first chapter, I think, is be a listener. We have to listen. And young people, no one listens to them. I mean, they're texting all day, and then they're going back and forth. No one's listening. And then a full-timer sits down at a table and listens. Amen. They've never had that before. Their friends aren't listening to them. No one's listening to them. Then the full-timers, they're listening to them. And they're not just listening. They're acting on that listening. Amen. And you know what? If someone's wounded, I promise you, you sit with them for a long enough time, the wound will be revealed. And when you put oil and wine on that wound, you gain them forever. They will never forget you if that oil and wine is put on that wound. Okay, but you will never get to that wound if there's not love to listen. That will never get there. You know, I believe I spent more time with Julio, we'd find more there. Okay, Julio, I know you're enjoying, but there are other things you need help with. You know, there are, brother. And I mean, I'm not saying you're not doing good. You're doing great. Stay on that honeymoon as long as you can, brother. Okay, brother, if you can last on it a year, go for it. Okay, but we need to take care of you, Julio. There's things you have needs. Okay, you are not the Superman. I know you think you are. I know you think you are in the spiritual realm. This is da-da-da-da-da-da, Julio. Julio, you have needs too. Okay. You have needs too. Okay. Amen. Brothers, we need to love.
Amen.
Oh, so much. And then when these things are coming together, we're filled with the Spirit. We're loving. You know what we're doing? There's a nest there.
Right.
We're building a nest to contain the young. Okay, then let's go to number four. We'll try to finish up here pretty quick. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on these because I want to hear from y'all tonight. Okay, let's read number four together. Ready? Go.
Vital groups are living and active.
Okay, so living, number one, we have to be personally living by thorough fellowship with the Lord. I love this verse in Proverbs. Let's read this one in Proverbs. Ready? Go.
I love those who love me and those who seek me diligently will find me.
Isn't that a great verse?
Yeah.
Brother, that's a morning watch verse. I love those who love me.
Amen.
And those who seek me diligently will find me.
Amen.
So, you know, Brother Lee says here, again, this is on your sheet. You may say, well, the Lord has not come to me yet. But I would say the Lord is waiting for you. The Lord is waiting for you. You need to go to him. The Lord is within you, but you may not care to listen to him. He is speaking all the time. You need to stop yourself from all other things. Go to a closed room. And I like this next one, to a mountaintop. Brother Lee literally went to a mountaintop when he realized he was dead. And he spent about 6 months or more on that mountaintop, day after day, going to that mountaintop. And he became vital. Okay? Or to some other place, to be with the Lord for a personal time. The only thing that has helped me and that can help you is to contact the Lord directly. No one can escape from the Lord's presence. He is the source. Go to him and you'll be enlightened. Okay, so that's personal. But then also to be living, there's a corporate side, which I just talked to you about. Corporately, by thorough fellowship with one another. Fellowship, prayer, and care. Okay, how about the sisters? Y'all read Hebrews 10:24. Ready, go. Oh, isn't that good? Incite one another to love and good works. Okay, brothers, how about what we do? 12:25. Ready, go.
That there would be no division in the body, but that the members would have the same care for one another.
Okay, and then let's read Philippians together. Not the footnote, just Philippians 2:25a. Ready, go.
But I consider it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. What does Paul say first about Epaphroditus? See, you know what, brothers? Mainly with us, the first thing we would say is, my fellow worker, my fellow soldier. Come on, we're in the vital group, brother. Let's get with it. Brother, you're my fellow worker. Don, come on. Don, I mean, we need to get some people. You know? Okay. First, Don is a brother. Okay, you know what it says in that footnote? First, a brother. First, a brother. Let's all say that together. First, a brother. Okay, read the rest of it. Then a fellow worker, and then a fellow soldier. You know where we get caught is right here. We look at one another, we're with one another, and they're not first a brother. It's like, hey, the vital group meeting, we're supposed to be here at 7:30. It's 7:45. The brother's still not here yet. Okay, let me tell you something. Right at that point, he is not first a brother to you. It's first a fellow worker. First a fellow soldier. How come you're late, brother? Brother, vital group. Brother Lisa, this is overcomers for the body of Christ. Remember that? Okay, let me tell you something. How many kids do you have?
Three.
Oh, how old are they?
12, 10, and 8.
Ooh, 12, 10, and 8. You remember those days? 12, 10, and 8. Soccer games, ballets, flute lesson. You know, I'm talking about, but it's like I have three too, and it's kind of like you're always juggling, and one of them's up in the air. You hope he doesn't fall down, you know? Okay. brother, tell me how things going. Instead of, why are you late? And he starts telling me, well, brother, my wife's sick, and I had to take this one here, and I take that one there. And then all of a sudden, there's something in your heart that loves that brother. And you're not judging, because he's first a brother to you. Brothers, with one another, we must cross this threshold. We must cross it. First a brother with one another. Okay, when we are first a brother with one another, there will be vitality corporately. You will find vitality corporately. But if we're always, what's wrong with that brother? Why is that brother so loud? Why is that sister so meek? Why is she so quiet? We got all the things. Listen, it can be a sunny day, and we're complaining that it's a sunny day because it's too bright for me. We are just champions at complaining. Champions. Brothers, first a brother.
Amen.
First a sister.
Amen.
Take care of those people.
Amen.
Okay, then let's read B together. Ready, go.
Active by thorough fellowship with one another. Fellowship, prayer, coordination.
Okay, and I'll go ahead and read it. You just follow me. In our group meeting, in these days, we have to pray for our work of contacting people. You notice how he starts with that? Pray for our work of contacting people. I like that. Then we should fellowship about the situation with our contacts so that we can study their cases, fellowship about them, and receive mutual help. After you study, what should you do? I like it. I like how Brother Lee is just weaving in prayer again. You can pray again. This kind of practice will be very practical, useful, and vital. Then you can decide whom you should contact and by what way. We have to believe that what we are doing in the vital groups will not be in vain, because there is a very practical sowing. Surely there will be a real reaping. Okay, brothers, I know some of my illustrations are funny. I hope something of the Lord has touched you tonight. I hope something the Lord has spoken to you tonight.
Amen.
Okay, brothers, we're all in this together. We haven't arrived. Kyle will be the first one to tell you. We have not arrived together. Can we make progress this year, 2018?
Amen.
And I'm not talking about hitting a home run. 10% progress.
Amen.
Can we move from just being in the homes to a vital group?
Amen.
This is what the Lord is after. And I believe, brother, the Lord wants to bless us in this way.
Amen.
Okay, we can stop here. I think we should have some overflow. Don't be bashful. We really need to hear your feeling and how the Lord spoke to you tonight.
Amen.
So I'm going to put this down, and who's going to, I know the first one, it's the hardest. Okay, so who's going to, we used to call it the first olive out of the bottle. Okay, who's going to be the first olive out of the bottle? Okay,
amen.
We need to hear from you all. It's important.
Amen.
Okay, we'll stop here, and we'll listen to you.